You're listening to Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Last week, our next guests returned from the journey of a lifetime. It's a trip they thought they would never make. U.S. Army Private Grover Plaunt of Mackinac City died in Germany a month before the end of World War II. That was April 12, 1945. He was laid to rest in a military cemetery in the Netherlands. Last week, two of Private Plaunt's descendants, his son Joe of Muskegon and Joe's son Randy of Lansing, became the first relatives ever to visit his grave in Margretten in the Netherlands. Randy Plaunt describes the trip as cathartic. Both men say they were overwhelmed by the hospitality and gratitude of the Belgian people who opened their homes to the Plaunts and drove them to some of the battle sites where Grover Plaunt saw action before his death. We're delighted to welcome Joe and Randy Plaunt to Current State. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Randy, I take it this trip was your idea?
Actually, it was my wife's idea. We met our friends from Belgium through Facebook. It was through an eBay transaction that occurred, and my cousin, who was friends of the person that was selling this item on eBay to our friends in Belgium, asked if flowers could be laid at the grave. And I saw this picture posted on Facebook of this man laying flowers at my grandfather's grave.
Oh, my.
And I became friends with him. And that kind of got the ball rolling from there. And my wife started communicating with him, my wife Lisa, and made the trip possible.
And when did you decide firmly, yeah, this is a trip we've got to make?
I think about 2 months ago. I think I called my father and I said, hey, how would you like to go to Belgium?
So you knew where he was buried?
We did, yes.
Okay. And Joe, I take it you never thought you'd actually see your dad's grave.
That's right.
This must have created an awful lot of anticipation.
It did.
Over the last few months.
It did. A lot of emotion. You know.
Sure, knowing you were actually going to see his grave,
sure.
Assuming that you had never were going to do that.
Yeah.
Randy, tell us about the main stops. Where did you go here?
We actually traveled most of the route that my grandfather traveled with the 740 Daredevil Tank Battalion, which he was involved with, which is also an interesting story in itself. He landed at Utah Beach in November of 1944, traveled through France, and saw some battles through France, but it was in Neufchâteau where the memorial to the 740 tank battalion sits in the center of town. They freed this village, and most of the fighting that took place in his Sherman tank as a driver started in that village in Belgium. So we traveled his route from Neufchâteau all the way down through Chevron, which took us through many parts of the Netherlands and Belgium.
But he died in Germany?
In Germany. So about a month before the war ended, the Battle of the Bulge was over, and we can only speculate as to why he continued on. It may have been to help free some concentration camps that were still active. We just don't know. That part of the story is still a mystery.
Who were these folks, Joe Plaunt, who were these folks who let you stay in their homes? And once again, tell us a little bit more about how you connected with them.
Well, I connected with them through Randy, but it was Fred and Ann
Mousset.
And I don't know, you know, you can travel the world over.
It's tough because these people were very gracious.
Yeah. A lot of hospitality there.
Well, they put us up in their homes in the Ardennes, their summer homes, and took us everywhere for free, no charge. And it was many miles of travel that this tank traveled that my grandfather drove.
How about that?
So my father's very grateful
for
these people.
So he was in this battalion. Randy, you're reading a book right now, which is all about your dad's or your grandfather's battalion. The Daredevils.
Yes, the 740. My grandfather probably was in camp in Fort Knox in 1944 in March, and was just regular Army training, boot camp. He went on furlough, and when he came back from a furlough, they decided that they wanted to make a special group, a special tank battalion. So these guys were quarantined to the Arizona desert, and it was called Area X. quarantined, sequestered is probably a better word because they weren't suffering from anything, but they were sequestered to this area in the Arizona desert, and started out with 300 men, and they discovered that 300 men was a handful, so they narrowed it down to about 105 men of the best, which included my grandfather. They practiced shooting, and their mission was to be one step ahead of the enemy and to be a better shot. And so that was their goal during training. So he left for the English Channel in July, and it was November 1st that he started his trip through Europe.
Randy, you never met your grandpa. You weren't even born until he'd been dead for 15 years. And Joe, you barely remember your
dad,
right? What kind of guy was he from the stories that you've heard?
As far as anything I've heard is that he was just a terrific guy.
And you have a keepsake you were telling me about.
When he, on his last trip home before going overseas, he had brought me a stuffed kangaroo. Wasn't large, but there's a kangaroo's are, they have a pouch and they have carry their joys in there.
Yeah.
And so this thing had two little joys in there. And I had that for several years. And
but that remained one of the possessions that
right.
you had that was
right.
really one intimate link with
right.
your dad
yep.
for quite a few years. Did he enlist?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Describe seeing his grave for the first time, Randy.
It was very, as we said, cathartic, but also the welcome that we received from the director, from Mark Grattan, was incredible because we were the first to visit, and when we told him that, he rolled out the red carpet for us. He basically locked the office and walked us to the grave with a flag, and what they do is they take a bucket of wet sand, and because the name is engraved in what I assume is ivory, they rub the sand on the name so it darkens the name and you're able to read it, take a picture.
Yeah.
But he personally walked us out there, and there's 8,832 men buried and 65 acres. And it was General Patton who said, if you're an American soldier and you died in Germany, as my grandfather did, you were not going to be buried in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. purchased this property in the Netherlands, and that's where these soldiers are buried.
I'm just trying to imagine what that must have been like approaching the grave as you saw it. And you kissed the grave several times?
Well, my father kissed it three times for each of his sisters who could not be there. One has passed away, and two are still here. And I was trying to document this on video, but still be there for my father, so I had my hands full. Because he was very emotional.
What has your sister's responses been to this whole trip?
Oh, they're very excited. They can't wait to get together.
Now, are they older than you?
Yeah.
They have better recollections of your dad than you do?
Well, yeah. My oldest sister is. I gotta think. She's 4 years older than I am.
Okay.
And the next sister is a year older than I am. And
have you learned a little bit more about your dad from them?
Oh, well, not necessarily from them. I think the trip over to the cemetery was a real education to be able to travel the trails where Dad was.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And Fred was so knowledgeable of the World War II in that entire area. And I mean, he could drive us through the countryside, and it just seemed like every crossroad you came to, there was a memorial for some company or some division,
And Fred was the Belgian
right.
man that you
right.
befriended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You get the impression that there's still a, for all the decades, there's still a great deal of awareness of what happened in World War II.
And gratitude, because we were part of a three-day reenactment that Fred gets involved with every year. There were 500 men, all Belgians, speaking French, with 300 restored World War II military vehicles at a camp where we spent 3 days. And we were the only two Americans that were true Americans. These Belgians were acting as Americans. So if we saw a vehicle, like a half track, and I think I mentioned, wow, that's really cool, Fred would look at me and say, would you like a ride? And the next thing I know, we're in a military vehicle riding through the countryside.
Oh my gosh.
And we were just given just incredible welcome through that whole experience.
How many photos do you have of your dad, Joe? Are there many or not many?
I think I have two.
Oh my gosh!
I have one that it's his military picture taken at, I'm assuming, boot camp.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I have one other picture that, as a matter of fact, it's the only picture that I've ever seen of him and my mother together. You know, and but that's all I've seen in the 71 years that I've been around.
Yeah.
You know.
What tell us more about these sites were well maintained.
Oh, extremely. That cemetery at Margretten is absolutely immaculate. It's maintained by a large crew. It's incredible the amount of labor that goes in. I mean, you can imagine 64 acres, and there's a pond. There is a flag with a bell that sounds every hour. And the memorial in Neuf Chateau, that's still just immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge for us there was is they spelt my grandfather's name incorrectly on the memorial. They spelt it with a C instead of a G, Grover. So I don't know, about a year ago, contacted the mayor of Neuf Chateau to try and just get them to engrave the C into a G, and we had a huge communication problem. So with our friends through Belgium and other contacts, we're going to get that changed.
Did you get the impression that that younger people, some number of people that you must have met, were born after World War II?
Well, during the reenactment, the few that could speak English, everybody had a story about how they were affected during that time. And the best story that I heard was, I guess you would call him a silent objector to the war. I don't know if that's the correct term, but this person from Brussels was forced to work in a Volkswagen camp or manufacturing place in Germany. And his way of objecting to the fact that this war was going on, he was in charge of the turn signals. He purposely wired the turn signals backwards, hoping that it would cause a collision somewhere down the road between a couple of Germans, you know, or a couple of Nazis, maybe. I don't know. But there was everybody had a story about how they were affected by that.
And do we know how your dad died?
Yes.
He operated a tank.
Right.
He was the driver.
Okay.
Yeah. And his tank got hit by a armored
AT fire.
Yeah.
Anti-tank fire.
Yep.
Okay.
And the Shermans were very thin. They were not like the Panzers or the Tigers that the Nazis had. They were referred to as tin cans. So he burned alive.
Yeah.
Once the anti-tank fire hit the tank.
Yep.
Was there any opportunity or interest in going to Germany? That's where he died, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Halvert was not that far away. Halvert's a very small village. If you Google Earth it, you'll be shocked as to how small that is. So it puzzles me that there was actually a war or a confrontation that took place in that small village where it took my grandfather's life. But I think we will go back and go through France and probably ultimately end up in the location.
How exciting.
Yeah.
But you are forced to try to imagine what his last days were
exactly.
Like in Germany.
Well, his company had traveled up through the northern part of Germany, and Halver was one of the communities that had been under German control. And there, I think, if I recall, in the book that Randy is reading, there was about a half a dozen small villages along that route that the 740th Tank Battalion moved through and recaptured, or took all these villages away from the Germans and freed those people again.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. And it wasn't. There was a lot of German people that. I think when you talk about World War II and Germany always comes up, and I think that Germany has always been the bad guy, at least to us Americans. And but there was a lot of the German soldiers that didn't necessarily want to be part of it, mm-hmm. but they didn't have any choice. They were told that that's what they would do. And matter of fact, we visited a cemetery that's maintained by the German army. And over in Margraten, where my dad is, there's one soldier to every cross that's in the cemetery. Mm. In the German cemetery, they have these small crosses. There's three names on the front and three names on the back. So it means that there's six soldiers connected in that one grave.
My word. What was unexpected about this trip? What surprised you when you took this journey?
What surprised me was being able to travel the same area where my dad did.
Okay.
When Randy said he wanted to take me over to Margraten, I was with the impression that it was going to be a trip that was going to take us to the cemetery, but that was going to be the extent of it. I never once dreamed that I would be going down all these roads where my dad had traveled. Matter of fact, the home that we stayed in with Fred and Ann, he told us, and he looks out across the valley, and you see Chevron. That's one of the communities where my dad's battalion was. And he said my dad could have traveled anywhere from where that house is today to all the way, I guess it'd be north. It could have been about a 5-mile trip north, mm-hmm. you know. So, but that was the most intriguing and unbelievable
thing. To retrace
thing, you know?
His steps. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the gratitude of the people, that just amazed me. It overwhelmed me.
Mm-hmm. And you must feel somewhat more connected to your grandfather after this.
I feel more connected to my father and my grandfather.
Okay. Joe, do you feel like you know your dad better?
Well, yeah, and I think that there was a lot of questions, you know, that I've thought about over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, I could never find out a whole lot about where he had died and where he was buried. Originally, he was buried in Germany, and it wasn't until the statement came from the higher commands that there would be no American soldier left in Germany after the war. And so all of these, all the soldiers that were buried in Germany, in cemeteries in Germany, they were all moved either to Holland, or I think they have about 8 different cemeteries, mm-hmm. you know, France, England, Brussels, or the Margraten area, you know.
Okay.
And my dad, because of the area associated with Halver, not being too far away, his body was moved to Margraten.
It has been fascinating to share these few minutes with you. Welcome back home. Joe and Randy Plant just back from the Netherlands, where they visited the grave of their ancestor, Grover Plant, originally of Mackinac City. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks, Mark,
it.
For having us.
Thank you, Mark.